This morning, once again, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to invite you to reach for your worship bulletin, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. There you'll also find some sermon take-home reflections for you that will hopefully reinforce the message that God will ultimately lay on your heart and my heart this morning. When you hear the word homecoming, what comes to mind for you? We've heard that word before, I'm sure, in a number of different circles and places of life, but what comes to mind for you? If you would take the next 20 seconds, I'm feeling generous, 22 seconds to visit with the person sitting next to you, what comes to mind for you when you hear the word homecoming? 22 seconds. Ready? Go. You see me after worship, Bob. All right, you don't have to raise your hand by the following examples, but if you want to, if you need to get your blood flowing today, I know it's colder outside, you go right ahead and do it. How many of you thought of homecoming for high school? Right? Spirit Week, yeah. Anybody celebrate Spirit Week this, well, not this week, but this year? Anybody? Yeah. Support your team, support the school colors, right? Go whatever your mascot is. Not so much their mascot, but go your mascot, right? And how about the homecoming dance, right? Yeah. How many of us have been to a homecoming dance before? How many of us want to go back to a homecoming dance before? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's all right. If you haven't gone to one yet, don't let them discourage you. You go right ahead and you dance your heart out, okay? Homecoming dance, here you come. Right. Maybe you thought of some of the things that go along with that week, not just the celebrations and the festivities, but maybe what to wear, right? Guys, I know this is a priority for you. Man, what am I going to wear? What kind of shirt? Is it going to match my shoes and my socks and my tie? Right? No, probably not. Yeah. Yeah, what to wear? Homecoming week. Festivities. How about the homecoming game? Yeah? This is something that even colleges support and encourage. Coming back to your alma mater for the big game, right? Watching the homecoming court go onto the field, whether it's college or maybe even high school. Homecoming. How about this? The never-ending, at least that's what I threw up there, the never-ending family vacation or road trip. You ever had one of those in life? Yeah? Any of you ever had the word homecoming just dancing around in your head? Maybe on the gas pedal as you were driving, homecoming, 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 homecoming. For me, back in 2004, I took an internship during my undergrad at the University of Nebraska, an internship in Portland, Oregon, and it sounded great. I was going to be right next to the West Coast, the biggest body of water I had seen at that point in time. When you grow up in Nebraska, you do what you can. But there was this one problem. I had to get there. And so I hopped in my 1993 Pontiac Grand Am, and I went from point A, wait for it, point B. And that was great, and that was fine, and I made the drive, and I actually had a couple buddies make the journey with me. But when you go from point A all the way to, I'm just going to fast forward, to point B, guess what? You got to drive back. And I remember that point where I finally knew that the time had come for me to go back home, my homecoming. I knew the family was waiting. Mom had thrown out some signs in the yard. You know, I'm still in college, but okay, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm making that drive from Oregon to Nebraska. And I can just remember, and I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments, but I needed to get some fresh air. I needed to take in some other senses, right? Some other sensory stimulation. So I remember crossing into Nebraska, the panhandle of Nebraska, and I had the window down, and I could, you know, just smell the, it just smelled like Nebraska. And then I got to a certain town in Nebraska, and I had to quickly roll the window back up because there was a packing plant and a lot of pig farms, like our family farm. And as I was coming over that last hill down to our family farm, which is also a pig farm, I knew I was home. No place like home. Nothing like a homecoming, right? Maybe as you were talking with whoever it was you were visiting with, or maybe as you were thinking about homecoming, maybe you were thinking about some of the heartwarming stories that we oftentimes hear or see on the news or in the media about our troops, servicemen and women coming home from a long tour, or their second tour, or their third tour, and the amount of emotion that just erupts and just spills out between a husband and a wife, or a father or a mother with their kids. Maybe a child they haven't even seen yet because they've been overseas defending our country. Homecoming. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word homecoming? This morning we're going to learn about another homecoming of sorts, and it was a grand homecoming. Make no mistake about it. It's for God's people. And we're going to hear about that in a little bit. But once again, what I'd like to encourage you to do as we watch our video for this morning is listen in for those themes of homecoming that God does for his people. Let's take a look.
Before the Israelites left Babylon, the king of Persia, who had overthrown Babylon, decided to help them rebuild the temple back in Jerusalem. He organized people from all over the land to give livestock and supplies to the Israelites. He even returned all of the gold and silver that the Babylonians had stolen from the temple. 50,000 Israelites returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the altar of the temple, then laid the foundation for the building itself. Before the temple was even finished, the Israelites began to offer sacrifices and worship God in it once again. But other countries surrounding Jerusalem began to worry about the Israelites regaining power. So they sabotaged the rebuilding project, and it came to a standstill for 16 years. But God used two men, Haggai and Zechariah, to encourage the Israelites to resume building the temple and not to be afraid of their enemies. So they continued building, strengthened by the prophet's words. The opposition continued, this time from a man named Tattenai, the governor of a nearby region. He wanted to stop the Israelites from building and worked to convince the Persian king, Darius, to stop the Israelites. Not only did King Darius not stop the rebuilding project, he threatened Tattenai and anyone else who would try to stop the temple from being rebuilt that he would kill them. Then he made Tattenai give funding, animals, and supplies to the Israelites. So the work continued, and almost 70 years after it had been destroyed, the Israelites finished rebuilding the temple. They dedicated it by sacrificing hundreds of animals to God and returning the priests back to their positions of leadership in the temple. God was once again worshipped in Jerusalem.
So last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of the persecution that God's people have been under, particularly as a group of people known as the Babylonians took God's people from Jerusalem in the southern kingdom of Judah off to Babylon. And as we heard last week with our look at Daniel and a few other familiar names, folks, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we saw that life in the basement known as Babylon. to relationship dynamics. Maybe it's financial situations. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's neighborhood related. Maybe it's congregational related. Whatever it is, where is God moving you today? Where is God desiring to move you? Where is your point B? This morning, as we wrestle with that for ourselves, we remember in this season of Advent that God is moving you and me towards the homecoming of homecomings. And how does he do that? God himself does it through Jesus. If we think back to the book of Ezra and we see how God's people had this grand homecoming and they're finally able to go back home and they're able to rebuild God's temple. Now we know God doesn't live in buildings like this. He lives with you and me. So what's the big deal? Why is God so interested in a building? And the answer is this: because he wants his people to know every waking moment that he desires to be with his people. You and me, we know this to be true because God himself dwells with us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because of all those things that have happened in our lives, well, those don't define us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ by grace through faith defines us. Through Jesus Christ, God moves you and me from death to life. This Advent season, we celebrate that God was so willing to move you and me from where we were to where we need to be. God himself took the task up himself, went to the cross, came out of the tomb, and lives and breathes, and is one day coming back for you and for me, just as we heard in our gospel reading today. And the takeaway from that lesson is this: friends, be ready for your homecoming. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.